This is PhotoBizX episode number 286, and today we're talking messenger marketing for photographers, and in particular, how to use messenger bots to automate your sequences and convert leads into bookings. Our guest today is Ian Sim, and he is using these exact strategies in both sides of his business for wedding and portrait bookings. That interview is coming up in just a minute.
Are you planning to have a successful wedding and portrait photography business? Join Andrew as he interviews successful photographers and business experts to fast track your success. Welcome to the PhotoBiz Exposed podcast with your host, Andrew Helmich.
Hey, it's Andrew Helmich here from Impact Images, and welcome to this episode of the podcast. The interview today with Ian Sim was recorded live in Melbourne, face-to-face, so a little bit different to the usual, and as a result, there are quite a few background noises. So I hope you can get past those and get a lot from what Ian has to share in that interview coming up in just a minute. Following the interview with Ian, I've got another smaller interview with Melanie Murphy. I asked her to come on the show and talk about the Luminary Retreat, which she is setting up. It's a small workshop slash retreat that's going to be held in Tasmania, but this one is specifically and only for women who are early on in their photography business. I love the idea and the sound of the retreat. Melanie's also a PhotoBizX premium member, so I was keen to hear what she's up to, what she's doing, and a little bit more about that retreat. Plus, we got a few business tips as well. One that I love in regard to wedding expos. So that's after the interview with Ian Sim. Now, talking about wedding expos or bridal fairs, it's a topic that does come up occasionally inside the members' Facebook group. I have done an interview with Steve and Sam Vaughan on this exact topic. Also, there's a members-only episode on making bookings at bridal fairs with Scott Lahiff. So get back and have a listen to those ones if you haven't heard those and are interested in generating bookings at bridal fairs. But on a related note, I was on a long drive back from the Victorian Alps last week with another cyclist, a friend of mine, Brad, and he's not a photographer, but we got talking about expos, and he used to sell cycling gear and accessories and equipment at these big bicycle events, mainly triathlon events, and he basically set up a stand and would sell these products that he would import from overseas. What he was saying to me on the drive was just how hard it was to get people to come to the actual stall. That was half the battle. He said, once I had people at my stand, at my stall, they'd look around, they'd see my products, they would like my pricing, and I'd be selling things like left, right, and center. He said it was insane once people got to the stand. But that was the hardest part. And I was thinking while we're having this conversation that this is similar in a lot of ways to a wedding photographer trying to get attention at a bridal fair. And often as a photographer, we have more competition than anyone else at these bridal expos. I mean, it's not uncommon to have 6, 10, 12 photographers at some of these bigger expos, and you have to find some way to capture the attention of couples walking past or the brides walking past. This is where Brad's idea, I thought, wow, okay, there's something in this. I'm not sure exactly how we could adopt this as a wedding photographer at one of our expos. But what Brad did, well, what his daughter did, was bring their baby goat. Yeah, you heard that correctly. They brought their baby goat along to the expo. So they had this new little goat, baby goat. Brad said it was the cutest little thing. And having that at the stand with his daughter, who was not doing any sales, she just had to be with him on the weekend. He was basically babysitting, and there's no way that she was leaving the new baby goat at home. She was there at the expo at his stand with the baby goat. And he said the amount of people that baby goat drew to his stand was unfathomable. Is that how you say it? Is that the right word? Unfathomable. You know what I mean. He just said there was a line of people for the entire event, for the entire show, because of this goat. They come to see the goat. They want to pat the goat, talk about the goat. But while they were there, they look up and see some of his products, and bang, he was making sales. He really, I can't state enough how amazing he said these sales were compared to any other event he'd been to when he brought that baby goat along. Now, I started to bounce some ideas around with Brad, like, you know, what other animals could you bring? You know, what expo organizer would allow you to bring an animal into an expo to draw attention? And, you know, straight away Brad said, well, you know, what if it's on if it's at one of the venues with a country style theme, then yeah, look, it probably won't be a problem. But I know that most expos that I've been to are generally inside a function room, and it probably wouldn't be practical or allowed to bring a pet. And my first thought was a baby pig, but he said they squeal too much. That's not a good idea. Baby goat, I love that idea, but he told me they are only born in October in Australia. I'm guessing it's different depending on where you live around the world, but he said they are one of the best animals to bring because they're clean, they're tidy, they don't poo all over the place, they're not noisy. Even a baby puppy would probably do the job. And you might be able to bounce some ideas around. We might be able to workshop this inside the members' Facebook group or in the comments area. But I love the idea of having something to grab people's attention as they're walking through a show. And it doesn't have to be photography or wedding related. As Brad proved, you know, he's got a goat that's attracting the attention of cyclists and then they're going on to make sales. So, yeah, I just thought that was a great idea. I don't know if you can do anything with it. But if you have any thoughts, if you've got any ideas of your own, if you've got an animal that you think would work better than a goat, then I'd love to hear it. Or is this a totally crazy idea altogether? Like, have you got the feeling, listen to this, that there's no way that this would work for a wedding or a bridal expo? Yeah, I think this has got legs. As long as we can come up with an idea that's going to work, that's going to be allowed inside the expo, that will stop people walking straight past. Well, more than that, bring people to your stand and hold their attention for a little while so you get a chance to talk to them, because that's half the battle at these bridal expos.
And now, a macro look at the last episode.
In last week's episode, I sat down at a local coffee shop with Nick and Tom, two photographers new to the industry looking to get started with their businesses, and we bounced around some ideas to help them get a head start, to get ahead of the curve, to basically to hit the ground running and have a better idea of this whole photography as a business in today's market and what they can expect. So if you are new to your photography business, if you're looking for some thoughts and ideas from someone that's been in business as a photographer for over 20 years, then tune in, check out that episode, and I'm sure you'll hear a ton of advice and ideas that you'll be able to implement and use in your photography business right now. Oh, and I almost forgot, there was a members only episode released last week featuring Melanie McNiven and my lovely wife, Linda. And the discussion was all around sporting team and dance school photography. It's a big part of our business, Linda and I, and also for Melanie. We both shoot, Linda and I shoot sporting team photography in the winter months here in Australia. Melanie photographs dance schools. They are great ways to supplement our income. Melanie, the same. So if you are interested in learning more about that, about our exact processes, same with Melanie's, if you want to hear what we charge, how we do the actual photography, how we set up the lighting, the emails that we send, how we do the scheduling, it's all covered in that members only episode for last week. It really is a concentrated look at that one form of photography. The aim was to make it a one-stop interview. So if you are looking at adding an extra income stream to your business, you can look at adding sporting teams or dance schools, go and listen to that interview, and you should be all set and ready to go with the information that you hear there. There's also a ton of info that Linda has put up and Melanie inside the show notes for that episode. So that includes all the emails that Linda sends, how copies of the forms that we use to collect the names, to do the scheduling, all that sort of stuff is all in the show notes. So yeah, everything there to help you get going with sporting team or dance school photography in that members only episode from last week.
Welcome to another Great Eye for Business. It's time for Andrew's special guest.
Hey, it's Andrew Helmich here. I'm with Ian Sim from Ian and Joe Tell Love Stories and also from Hugs to Family Photography. If you remember that name, it's because you would have heard Ian on the show a couple of times in the past. I interviewed Ian. I didn't get Joe on at that time, but I had Ian on from the business on episode 262. We talked all about his business, his marketing, how he was coping with so many leads at the time. And that led on to another interview, which came a little bit later, about his new business, or I guess a complementary business, which is Nice Chat Let's Book, and that's dealing with using the messenger bots to cope with all the leads he was getting in through his Facebook ads. So today the plan is to dive a little bit deeper into that messenger marketing and the use of messenger bots, how you can use them, what they can be used for, are they easy to use, what do you need to do to set them up, and I guess get into a little bit more detail about how you can use them in your business, whether or not you're shooting weddings or portraits. I think it's more geared towards portrait photographers, but I'll find out from Ian. So first up, let me welcome Ian back to the show. Welcome, mate.
Thank you.
First of all, how's business?
It's good. Yeah, it's going well. The Facebook ad strategy linked up with Messenger has been really good for us this year.
So you're still doing exactly the same as what you were?
For the Facebook ads, yeah. Yeah, basically unchanged. We're always adding to the process after booking, you know, trying to work on refined things to keep sales up. But the actual booking process, I can't think of anything that's changed.
Okay. One of the things that comes up in the members' Facebook group pretty regularly, and I think, I don't know if I maybe am guessing by saying it's mainly from overseas listeners and members, but one of the common themes is, oh, is it still working or it's not working as well as it used to? But you, I mean, we just sat down, we're having a beer here in a pub in Melbourne, and you've said, oh, I'm running an ad again right now.
Yeah.
How's it working?
This week, it's great. Definitely there has been some changes though. So I found that the post that I put up, I think I put it up on about Thursday last week, for the first 2 days, almost nothing happened. It was absolute tumbleweeds. I had an ad on that post from, I think, about 4 hours after it went live. And even with an ad, I had $20 on the budget for the day and it wouldn't spend it. I think I spent about $4 that day when I was trying to give Facebook more. So after those first 2 days, it picked up steam and it's been great ever since. But it was really tempting to just shut the whole thing down after 2 days because nothing was happening at all. Since then, everything's been pretty normal. Yeah.
So what do you think happened in that first 48 hours? You got any clues or ideas?
Facebook's got a learning mode now. And I think they're, rather than trying to fire up the ad straight away and then learn on the job, it's trying to, I think, pause for a day at the start, work out who it's got to send everybody to, and then do a more effective job from then on. I think that's a bit of a guess, but while it was in learning mode, nothing was happening.
Right. So, and are you still posting onto your timeline and getting some organic reach, or are you purely posting as a dark post?
So yes, no, no. So I'm posting on our page, so it's trying to get organic reach, really not getting any, and then just running an ad. So it's not a dark post, but it may as well be, because the organic reach really sucks these days.
Okay.
And that's mainly been on the Hugster, so the family portraits promo. We did an engagement session one about a month ago, and it was pretty normal. It was engagement pretty much straight away. So I don't know whether that's a difference between our two Facebook pages, difference between the timing. Maybe it's a new feature to Facebook, or maybe I just got unlucky, you know, that it was the day that I ran it or something like that.
Okay.
In general, if you leave it for a little while, it seems to perform really consistently.
Yeah.
I'm probably spending a bit more money on the ad now than I would have a year ago. It's probably another difference, but it's still, compared to what it can generate, it's still peanuts, I think.
Okay. I think the message there is, and I think we've said that from day one, is, you know, you really need to give whatever you do to Facebook 48 hours for it to take effect, whether that's a new ad, whether that's a change to your existing ad, whatever it may be. And it's funny that you mentioned budget, because my advice to anyone that is not having a lot of success is to throw more money at it first, just to make sure that there's, you know, that the budget is actually working, Facebook's happy to take your money and start showing it to more people to see if you can start getting that reach. And you said you're spending a little bit more now. What are you spending now on an ad, roughly?
So on this one, I put $20 a day, and then once it started to work, I upped it to $30. It's a bit of a unique situation for me. I'm trying to run this campaign a bit faster over just a couple of days. I've only got a few days to make phone calls, and then I'm taking a holiday for a little while, so trying to kind of squeeze it in around things. So once it started to work, I wanted to get people into our calendar as quickly as possible, so that's why I cranked it up to $30.
Right, okay. Again, it's an interesting take on the way you do things, because when I wrote the course for the Facebook ads and when I've run these promos, you know, most of my advice to myself and to anyone else doing the same thing is to stay
stay put, to be available, to answer comments, and you know, be engaged with everything that happens with the ad, and send an email and get on the phone. But you don't really have to do that because you're using the messenger bot.
Exactly. Yeah.
So you can run an ad and go on holiday.
Pretty much. So a couple of those things are still totally true. When people engage with the post, if someone engages with the Facebook post, if they put a comment or post a photo or whatever, I definitely find that the reach is better if I stay in there and interact, say, that's a lovely photo, your kids are so cute, that kind of thing. That seems to help move them along. Even though they're talking with my bot, sometimes they'll just drop off. But if I'm engaging with them there and showing that I'm a real person, that complements the bot pretty well. Does that make sense?
All right. So even though you're utilizing the bot to engage with a prospective client, you're still engaging on the post. So you're still encouraging people to comment and add a photo of their kids or whatever it may be.
Absolutely.
So the ad still runs the same.
Yeah.
Okay, so nothing's really changed on that end. So how does the bot fit in?
So the bot will, it does two things. It asks them a series of questions and gives them a whole lot of information along the way. So at the end of this process, we don't have phone calls with people who either don't know anything about us or have a bit of a budget disconnect, I guess we'll call it.
Hang on, so budget disconnect, what that means is
no money.
They've got no money, they're not going to buy any extra.
Actually, no money doesn't seem to be as big a problem as no interest in spending money on prints. If people have got no money but interested in spending on prints, they can do payment plans and things like that. It's people who don't value what we do. I don't want to talk to them, really. They don't want to talk to me either. So
that's where
the bot weeds them out.
Right, okay. Yeah. Okay, how does it do that?
So it'll go through a series of questions. So what level do you want to talk about this in? How much detail?
Well, yeah, whatever's going to help the listener. All right. If someone hasn't run a bot or hasn't been exposed to this and is thinking about it, like, what are they going to get out of using a messenger bot?
All right, cool. So I might just go through the example that we're running at the moment.
Perfect.
The Facebook ad that we've got going at the moment, when somebody comments on the Facebook post, the first thing that happens is our bot will reply straight back to them. The post actually says, comment below and we'll get back to you in Messenger. So that's exactly what happens.
Okay, sorry. You're encouraging them to post below, aren't you? You want them to post below because that's going to engage the bot.
Yep. Yeah, as soon as they comment, the bot will reply back to them as a message, and it'll say something like, hey, thanks for getting involved. Hey, Andrew, thanks for getting involved in our little project. I'd love to send you a few questions and some info here in Messenger. If that's okay, please reply back with this keyword. And when they reply with that word, and it's an obscure word that isn't going to come up in normal conversation.
So this isn't yes or no. This is something totally obscure.
Exactly. So it might be Hugster Spring 18 or something like that. So that they reply back with that word, and then that kicks off a sequence of messages with buttons underneath each one for them to choose an option. So it'll be something like, where are your kids happiest? At the park, at the beach, at home watching TV? When was the last time you had a portrait session? Was it less than 2 years, greater than 2 years? That kind of thing. And based on their answers, the really cool thing about the bot versus a questionnaire on a website is that the bot can send a different question based on your answer, and it can also tag people based on their answers as well. So we can see right from the start, we can see whether they're likely to be a great match or not. And as they go through the questionnaire, we can either, so for example, if they are looking like a great match, I'll show them some pricing and ask whether they're ready to continue afterwards. If they don't seem like a good match, I'm not even going to bother showing them the pricing. You know, if it doesn't look like they're interested in spending anything, I don't want to stress them out either. So it goes right through all this series of questions. We can ask a lot more questions in Messenger than we can on a website questionnaire as well. I've found anyway, in my experience, when we use a landing page on a website and we have a series of questions on there, I found that if I've got more than about 5 questions, the number of people who actually get to the end and submit their questionnaire just drops through the floor. Whereas with Messenger, I've had questionnaires where we've been asking people 15, 16 questions and about 90% of them get right through to the end. Of the people who start it, they get right through. As long as what you're offering is something that they really want, it's really easy for them to just click a button and go through the sequence.
I think a big reason why that is if I go onto a page and I land on a questionnaire and I can see there's 20 questions or 15 questions, I'm thinking that's too much trouble. With Messenger, you're just throwing one little tiny simple question at a time, and I feel invested once I've travelled along through that a little bit.
And there's little tricks. So every few questions, I'll give them a little pat on the back, you know, like a, wow, you're flying through these, not much to go, that kind of thing. As you get towards the end, I don't want anyone anyone to drop off if they've been really qualified and everything's looking great. I don't want them to fall off on the last question. So the last few will say, two questions to go, one question to go. All right, now you're done. And then the very last thing that happens, the decision has been made by the bot. It's been mostly made by the bot. The decision to shortlist someone or not shortlist them. If they're shortlisted, we'll have a little bit of a delay and then a message will go straight back to them that says, you've been shortlisted, here's a link to book a phone call with us. And I always think it's good to finish this whole process with a phone call, with a human interaction. You can ask them a couple of other little questions. You can find out whether the timing will actually work, whether they're willing to shuffle their calendar around at all to make the shoot happen. I think that's a good sign of whether they're going to ultimately just cancel on you. All those sorts of things. If you're doing a lot of people have like a $50 deposit, $50 holding fee for a session, you can bring that up on the phone without having the bot have to deal with it. All those things that are just better dealt with by two humans,
okay,
than having
so
a bot.
I think a good way to understand this is if the listener isn't totally familiar with how this is all working so far, is it's like a messenger sequence. It's like a choose your own story or choose your own adventure.
Yep.
And your bot is designed to kick out the people that probably won't spend any more money on prints.
Exactly.
And the ones that get through, that do they go through and schedule a time for the phone call and then you make the phone call?
Yes, exactly. Actually, before we get onto the phone calls, I think we're weeding out people who aren't going to spend. We're also weeding out people who aren't really a good match with the style of what we're doing as well. So I ask questions like, one of the questions I ask our engagement session couples is, thinking of your favourite picture of the two of you, what makes it special? Is it the location? Is it the moment? Should we pause while the vacuum cleaner goes past?
I think we'll be right.
Okay, all right, cool.
So yeah, just so you know, if you're hearing this, we are sitting in a bar. We've gone to a quieter area in the bar, but yeah, there's people working. So there's tables getting set, there's a vacuum, someone operating a vacuum cleaner, but we're going to push on, Ian.
All right, cool. So we ask people, thinking of the photo that you love most of you and your partner, what makes it special? Is it the moment? Is it the location? Or we just looked hot that day? And personally, I don't really want to deal with models or people who think they're models. And so we just looked hot is a black flag against their, a red mark against their name. It doesn't kick them straight out. It just puts them into, we kind of have a yes, maybe, and a no column, moves them into the maybe column, ask them a few more questions. They can redeem themselves and get back into being shortlisted, or they get booted. So that's not necessarily about money. That's just people who I think I'll click with more during the session. And that's ultimately going to lead to better sale as well, better experience, better pictures, you know, better for the soul, really. So we were talking about phone calls, though. When we get to the end of the sequence, we send them a link to an online calendar where they can book in a phone call. And we have times blocked out. So this week, for example, we had a couple of days blocked out for phone calls, ready to take them. And we have half-hour slots for people to have a bit of a chat with us. And on that phone call, I'd say 90% of the time we're booking because they've been qualified before they get to the phone call. So one of the things I really like about all of this is I hate going through a list. I was talking to someone the other day who ran a campaign where they got 500 leads and they weren't qualified at all. All the qualification was happening on the phone. And so you have four phone calls in a row, three of them are going to be bad phone calls. They're going to be, what the hell did you say your prices are? You know, there's no way I'm spending that. They'll treat you like a telemarketer a little bit. The phone calls we're making, these people are, they've gone to the effort of making a phone call. They've had a bit of a delay between when they booked that call and when the call's actually happening. So they've had a chance to talk to their partner, think about whether they're actually wanting to go ahead with this. So by the time you make the phone call, in most cases, they'll either not pick up the phone, and that still happens, but it's not common, or if they pick up the phone, you know 100% that they know your prices, they're probably a good match. We've just got to make sure the timing works and we can find a location. So I much prefer those phone calls to the 1 in 4 success rate on a non-qualified listing.
Yeah.
And that's what we were doing originally.
Right, okay. I mean, so it sounds like really the phone call that you're making now is with a client. It's almost like a client that's come to you for portrait photography rather than you trying to weed out
exactly
the good ones from the bad ones.
Yeah, yeah.
Awesome.
Yeah, just a nicer experience.
Yeah, yeah. Okay, so, and I mean, you've alluded to the fact that you're using this for engaged couples as well. So this isn't just for family portraits.
No. Personally, I think I do a better better job of it on engagement sessions than on families. We're still ironing out the kinks in our family ads, but engagement sessions, I've done a lot of them this year from exactly this strategy. There's not much other marketing that we've done for engagement sessions this year.
I think you call it a tap, don't you?
A tap, yeah.
When you need more leads or more bookings, you turn on a tap.
Yeah.
That's unreal.
It leads to, because that then leads into weddings, they've had a bit of a try before you buy experience. I think you're going to have a better experience for you as a photographer and as the bride and groom as well on their wedding day, because everything's all easy once you've done an engagement session with them and then they've made the decision. So we definitely still lose some because they spend more than they wanted to on their engagement session, and then they think, oh well, the wedding would be great but it's going to cost us a fortune. So we lose some, but bookings have been pretty good for weddings converting from the engagement.
Well, can you give me an idea? So if you do 10 engagement shoots, have you got an idea of how many wedding bookings you get?
5 or 6.
Wow.
Something like that.
And you're still making sales to the ones that don't book you for their wedding.
Yeah.
Because I know that a lot of photographers are using the shoots that they book through the Facebook ad. They're giving the files away for free if they book the wedding. Are you doing any incentives like that?
I started off doing that and I sort of caught myself resenting it a little bit. I'd get the wedding booking. So what I was doing was I was saying, let's say you spend $2,000 on your engagement photos, we'll give you $1,000 off your wedding package. And so I now look at those bookings and say, maybe we didn't need to do that.
Right, that'd be another $1,000 in your pocket.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah.
Well, so these days, what happens now?
Honestly, I'd prefer, from a business perspective, I'd prefer to get 2 engagement sessions than 1 wedding. The money is similar. The work is a whole lot less. I love shooting weddings, but the numbers, I'd totally happy. If that number went down from 6 to 1 in 10 booking weddings and the average sale for the engagement sessions could be lifted a little bit, totally happy.
Yeah, right. Yeah. Okay, I totally get that, because it's a 1-hour shoot as compared to all day on a Saturday.
Yeah.
Wow, okay.
Actually, if Jo hears this, she's going to fall off a chair when you say that. I've gone to some pretty extreme lengths for the engagement sessions. So I've had a couple who proposed in Kilkunda, which is about 2 hours from here, okay. And I've driven there for an engagement session.
Okay.
I've driven to Warburton, which is an hour and a half away. I've driven there and back for an engagement session. That's all free.
So
and part
why
of
are you doing that? I'm guessing there's a good feeling about this particular couple.
Yeah, and the sales are good, and I kind of know it's going to pay for itself. It's good opportunity to get out to somewhere amazing. Yeah.
Unreal. So with the engagement couple Facebook ads that lead into the Messenger bot, are they getting similar questions to the family clients? Like, are they seeing products? Are they getting an idea of prices?
Yeah. Yeah, it's all really similar. In fact, probably too similar. I think that's where the tweaking is happening on our family bot at the moment. So we've asked some questions on the engagement sessions, thinking that that's going to... So, for example, the question that I was talking about the moment, the location, or we just looked hot, we've included that one, but just said we just looked good. And we found that some really good clients say we just looked good because the kids were looking cute that day or something. It's just got a different meaning. It doesn't necessarily mean vanity.
Yes.
So it's been a bit of a process of refining those questions.
Got it.
That's going to be different for every studio as well.
For sure. Okay, so getting all this set up, I know that's when you started to set or you created Nice Chat Lex book. So what is that? That's you teaching people how to set up their own Messenger bot.
Yeah, exactly. When I realized how much of a difference it was making to our studio, I kind of felt like I'd invested all this time into learning how to do this thing, and I don't have time to do the shoots that could come from, if I invest twice as much time in my own bot, it's not going to generate more money for me because there's still only one calendar to fill. And so I decided to look at either developing bots for other photographers or teaching them how to do it. And I'd love to develop bots for other photographers, but it just takes so much time. And ultimately, each studio owner is going to be better at doing that. Once they've got the tools and the skills, they're going to be better at doing that than I am anyway, because they know their studio, they know their customers, they know, their locations and all those sorts of things. If I can give people the right base, if I can give them the right set of questions to ask and give them the structure, they'll be able to do the perfect little refinements to really speak to their customers in their language, I think. And so it just made no sense to build bots for people. So that's why I went to training people to do it.
So that personalisation that you talked about, that's what you and I did together on the phone that day. So
exactly.
Because I said the same thing. I mean, I love the idea of doing this, and I'm yet to do it because I haven't run another ad since we talked. But we developed a bot for my business, and all we did was look at your total sequence, and I made it in a language that sounded like me.
Yeah.
So I said some words, or you said some words in yours that I wouldn't use, and I personalised that to make it sound like me talking to my clients.
It could be as simple as, so some of the questions that I ask photographers pretty regularly are, do you say hey or hi? Do you say I or we or us? You know, those little things. Do you sign things off as impact images or do you sign them off as Andrew? Every studio has got different rules, often unwritten, about those things. If you can inject a bit of that into your bot, it'll just feel less like a robot. I just need to pause there. I put a thing in our group the other day saying I've discovered how awkward the word bot can be in a sentence because I heard it through my 5-year-old son's ears the other day. I said to somebody, let me take a look at your bot. And then I heard him just giggling his head off. I just said something about injecting something into your bot, Andrew. I'm really sorry.
I'm quite happy with the way my bot looks as it is, thanks.
Some Botox or something, I think that sounds like.
So it's really just short for, I guess, it's robot, isn't it?
Yeah,
robot.
Exactly.
Yeah. Okay.
Yeah, so you don't want it to sound like a robot. You don't want it to sound mechanical. You want it to sound like you, really. I don't ever suggest that anyone lies about that to their customers. Make it really clear that it's automated, but make it sound like you.
Sure. So would you describe it like or as an email sequence on steroids in a way?
Yeah, absolutely. The massive difference, there's a couple. The first massive difference is that emails don't get replied to, often don't get read. Whereas Messenger's got a lot of protections built in, so people can mark you as spam really quickly. And so their Messenger inbox it's a much more controlled space. And so the fact that you're in there, you're kind of in some precious real estate. Whereas in the inbox, anyone can pop something in there. And so you end up with all this clutter in an email inbox. So something goes into your Messenger inbox, most people will respond pretty quickly, as long as it's about something you actually want. If you're spamming someone into their email mailbox, that might go unnoticed for a while. So this is the flip side of it. If you spam someone into their Messenger inbox, you're going to get marked as spam straight away. So don't do that.
What happens then?
So there's definitely consequences. Facebook can ban your page. They can ban your bot access. They can shut that down. None of our course members have had that happen yet. I've never had that happen, but I'm in a lot of groups on Facebook with people who are trying some pretty ridiculous things with a Messenger bot, and they're getting shut down like crazy. And fair enough, I think they're just ruining it for the rest of us. So the first difference is that people read and respond to the messages, and the second one is that because of that you can ask them a lot more questions, and the third one is that you can do all this with email marketing tools, except that you don't get enough conversation happening, enough back and forth for it to really work anyway. But with Messenger, as the conversation goes back and forth, you can be tagging them and you're categorizing them and putting them into a different kind of streams. You know, if somebody is a no for a particular promo, they might be someone that you want to send a PDF guide to or a link to a special offer or something like that.
Down the track.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah.
Okay. Awesome.
Or even in that promo.
Yeah, okay.
So rather than just saying, no, we haven't picked you for this free shoot, you can say no, but you can get a special price for a shoot over the next month. Or what I do is I send them a PDF guide that says, here's how to get natural smiles from your kids.
Got it. Okay, great. I want to talk more about how you could use this in other areas on your website or with other promos, for example. But first up, for anyone that still is unsure, can they go to nicechatletsbook.com and actually see an example?
Yeah, absolutely. Absolutely. So I've got an example on there of, I can't remember what exactly, I call them model calls, which is the Facebook ad promo. It's exactly the same thing, really, once you get into that, the bot part of it anyway. So there's a model call example, there's an FAQ example, there's a few other things in there. There's a button on the main homepage for Nice Chat Let's Book where it just says try it out. Click on that and you'll see it from a customer's perspective.
Oh, so it's that simple.
Exactly. Yeah.
Okay, got it. All right. And how much does it cost to get into it to actually start doing this?
So the cost of the actual tool, so the tool we use is called ManyChat. The cost of it is zero, but there's a paid version of it, which is $10 a month, $10 US a month. And I really strongly recommend that people use that once you start to get some value out of it. So if you're just testing the water, try the free account. If you're starting to use it for promos, you'll just get a lot more kind of advanced features that are really, really useful.
I mean, to even do, I mean, I started working my way through your course. I mean, that was one of the very first things was, I recommend you get the premium version because you can't do a lot of the things you start to teach.
Actually, not entirely true. So all of the things that in the course, everything that I teach, well, it'll either be available on the free version or I'll explicitly point out, you know, this is a way that you can do it on the free version, but it's going to be better.
Right. Okay. Maybe that's a better way to put it. It's just going to be easier to pay the 10. If you're going to do this, okay.
And you can cancel at any time. Like, if you find that it's not worth $10 a month, then I don't think you should be using the bot. You know, it's the $10 a month, I think, a smaller investment than the time that you'll put into running it and learning it and things like that. So if it's worth doing, it's worth $10 a month.
I mean, if we get a fraction of the success you've had with it, the $10 a month is nothing.
Yeah, I've got three different brands plus Nice Chat Let's Book. So it's $40 a month for me.
So you have to have a different bot for each brand because you have a different Facebook page.
Exactly. So it's one per Facebook page.
Right, okay. Yeah. So you're paying $40 a month.
Yeah, exactly. And I've got one page that I just use for testing. And I've got a free account on it just so that I can have some idea of what people are seeing when they've got a free account. So that one's never getting upgraded. $50 a month seems like a bit more of a stretch.
All right. And then let's say we've got the bot. How much does it cost to learn from you? And when I do sign up for your course, can I just get a sequence and copy it?
Yeah. Yeah, so the course is really built to teach you how to do everything yourself. Partly that's because I wrote the course before it was possible to share a sequence with you. But over the last few months, we've been adding more and more installable templates, I call them. So there's a few lessons in the course, a few of the key ones, like the one that goes through how to respond to a Facebook ad, how to set up that sequence. Underneath the video for that course, there's two buttons. One of them says try it out, so you can just see it from a customer's perspective and click through in your own, you know, on your phone. The other button says install, and you can just install that straight into your ManyChat account.
And that's it. So that once I've installed it, I've actually got your sequence ready to go run with my ad. That's
You need to change a couple of little things. You know, it says we've been photographing families in fictional town or something like that. Right, you change that to your area, but there's notes on where that needs to be changed. There's about five little things through the sequence. But mostly you can just keep it as is. I know it works.
And if I do the course, then I'm going to learn how to customise every or any part of that sequence that I want to.
Yeah. Okay. And what I've generally found is that people have started with my sequences and my ideas for how to use the bot. And then over time, they've kind of been saying, you know, I don't know, I've got a competition that I usually run on Facebook. I wonder how that would go with the bot. And you do a couple little tweaks, apply it to that new marketing idea and see how it goes. And so they've started off with I like to think of the course as a base. We chat about other crazy ways you can use your bot in the Facebook group. And people have done some really cool experimentation from there.
Unreal. And your Facebook group, that's only for people that have done your course or beta testers or actually involved.
Exactly, yeah. Yeah, it's a private group just for course members so that they can, you know, sometimes when you're starting out, people will have little technology meltdowns and things like that. It's nice to be able to just have a safe little area that we can share that stuff together. I find that this technology is, because it's built on top of Facebook and Facebook is constantly changing, it's a little bit buggy. So one of the videos in the course is kind of like, I was describing it as therapy to somebody this morning. There's a video where I basically am just saying, you're going to beat your head against the wall as you go through this process. Not a lot, but very occasionally you'll go to do something and it'll feel like your way is obstructed. It's totally worth it. It's 1,000% worth it. So in the group, we support each other through those moments. The same with anything on Facebook, anything running That's a Facebook page, running a Facebook group. Yeah.
It's always changing. How much does it cost?
So $290 US for complete access to the course. There's no monthly subscription or anything like that. So you might choose to upgrade your ManyChat account to $10 a month, but from what you pay us is $290 once. And if you have a chat to Andrew, he might be able to help you out on that.
That's for members. Cool. All right. And then, so once I join up with Nice Chat Let's Book, then I get invited to the Facebook group and I have that support network.
The installable templates come with it. As soon as you sign up and get access to the course, you've got access to the installable templates as well.
And I know that not everyone is enamored with the idea of running these Facebook ads and model calls. I mean, there is some resistance out there. Is there other ways to use the bot that you've seen successful?
Yeah. Yeah. So, and some of them I would have predicted and some of them were massive surprises. So one early on, I had somebody contact me and say, look, I don't want to use this for promos. What I want this for is I want people to stop messaging me. And so what he's using it for
So he doesn't want to get, or she doesn't want to get Facebook messages. They want emails instead.
Exactly. Exactly. And
what a complaint. That's great.
So literally just wanted the course to be able to learn how to get a Facebook message and convert that into an email. So somebody sends a message, you say, thanks, I'm not here right now, I'll try and get back to you, but my messenger inbox gets pummeled daily, and so the best way to contact me is this email address or this phone number. That's a pretty unusual use of it, but it's
been, that works.
Yeah, absolutely. I wouldn't do it. I want the other way around. I want an email version of that that says, contact me in Messenger.
Get me on Messenger.
Yeah, which is crazy because socially, I hate using Messenger. You know, I hate typing on my phone to people, but it's so helpful to be able to respond to things either on your phone or on the computer and wow, to not have it in amongst the clutter of your spam.
Well, you must have a different workflow to me because I get a lot of messages from PhotoBiz X members and listeners, and I'm saying the same thing as this other photographer. If you can email me, it won't get lost.
Yeah, right.
If I don't answer straight away, that's gone, that message, because I've read it. I've got to mark it unread,
yep,
or it gets lost.
Yeah, so we need to work on your messenger, but...
So what do you do? I mean, what do you do to stay on top of yours? Because you must be getting hundreds of messages.
So we have them coming in from a whole lot of different channels, and the way the bot works, it knows what channel they're coming in from. So they're coming in from a Facebook ad promo, or if they're coming in from a competition on the website or something like that, they're already kind of tagged on the way through. And so you know whether something needs to be actioned or whether the bot is going to deal with it.
So are you seeing every message that someone interacts with on your phone?
So, yeah. So, listeners, I'm picking up my phone right now to show Andrew. Let's see... I might have to take it off flight mode. I was trying to be good and not interrupt the call.
We've got vacuum cleaners. People can't even chill.
Whoever's editing this, there's going to be a bit of dead air.
This is going to go out raw and uncut.
So we have no mobile reception here. So I might just explain what's probably there. At the moment, on my Messenger inbox, there would be, under each brand, there'd probably be five messages sitting there unread. I would say there's probably one that I need to deal with. So I check in every now and then across all of those brands. So I'll go in and check through those. They're just like email. They're just marked as blue, as unread. I'll go through and look for the things that I need to deal with. But everything else just gets sorted by the bot.
What happens to you if you accidentally open one of those and read it?
That's fine.
So the bot will still do what it has to do?
Yeah.
You won't interfere with it?
No.
Okay, that's not too bad.
Even if I write a message back manually. So that happens all the time. I had somebody who this morning... She was starting the Facebook ad promo sequence and she just wanted to know where we're based. So I just wrote back and said, Mount Waverley, do you mind if I kick off the automated questionnaire? She says, yes. I kick it off manually and then the bot takes over from there.
Right. And you do all that from your phone?
That was on the computer, but okay. Yeah, you can. Yeah.
Oh, wow. Okay. Well, what are some other ways I could use this on my photography website if I'm not running a promo?
So a better way to do this... Fire some promo types at me and I'll say yes, no, maybe. Does that work for you?
Okay. What about if someone just lands on my homepage?
Yep.
And I know, let's say they go to my wedding page.
Yep.
So I know they're interested in wedding photography. I'm not running a promo at the moment, but I want to engage in interacting with this person, and maybe my opt-in isn't enough to capture them, or should I take them to a messenger bot?
Cool. So I knew this was a good idea. So with that example, there's a couple of things you could do. You can have a live chat button on your website. It's pretty simple to set up. The work is in setting up the sequence of messages that get triggered by that live chat. But if you check out Nice Chat Let's Book, down in the bottom right corner, you'll see a little messenger icon that pops up. That can be specific just to certain pages. So you could have a wedding live chat, a family's live chat. It looks exactly the same, but when they click on it, ManyChat knows they were on the wedding page, and so I'm going to send them wedding questions. You can ask for their wedding date, for example, and we have a promo on our website that is basically a Facebook ad promo. It goes through the same qualification sequence and says, tell us your proposal story. If you're in Melbourne, don't steal this idea, please. It tells your proposal story, and you know, you might be selected for a free shoot. So that pops up on that page.
24-hour, 7-day-a-week promo.
Yeah. Yeah.
So you can just send traffic to your wedding page
yep.
without running a Facebook ad.
Exactly.
And you've got a Facebook ad style ad running.
And it's not as fast as the Facebook ad promo. It doesn't get as many leads, but it's just a nice little trickle. You can have pop-ups just like you have with email marketing. So you can have a pop-up on that page that says, get my free guide for Terrigal locations or something like that. And that could be a ManyChat pop-up that to get their PDF download, they need to click get started and start a messenger conversation with you.
Right, so, and I can ask them things like where they're getting married, what date, the engagement story, whatever it is.
You could even give them the PDF via messenger.
That's what I was going to ask.
And then a day later, automatically send them a message saying, did you get my price list? What did you think? Do you have any questions?
Right. So these are all things I'm doing via email I can do with Messenger.
Yeah, exactly. And that's why I turned that question around and said, fire some ideas at me and I'll tell you where they work, because almost everything that works on email will work. There's some differences. There's some things where, you know, some target markets that just don't really like Messenger or just don't really like their phones. And so you've got to think about that a little bit.
What are you thinking, commercial clients?
I haven't really done a lot of it with commercial clients, but I would expect that that'll be a little bit of an issue. And it might be just about how you position it, how you, you know, where it's, what time it's sent. You know, do you try and catch them on the weekend, so you're dealing with them personally, or I don't know, whatever it is.
But for wedding and portrait photographers, perfect.
Yeah.
Okay, so I don't know if there is an answer for this one. I'm not trying to catch you out. But is there a way that I can incorporate this with a third-party marketing strategy?
Yeah, so I've been thinking about this lately. I haven't tried it, and as far as I know, no one in our group has tried it yet. I'm sure there is a way. You can set up a link that when somebody clicks on that particular link, it starts a specific sequence of messages. And so what I've kind of thought about with those third-party marketing promos is that you have a sign in the shop, like a loyalty card that gets handed over when you purchase over a certain amount in their store, and it says, go to that link and you'll get a free something, a free shoot and print from Impact Images. I think that would work really well.
So where would that send them? To my Messenger bot?
Yeah, exactly.
It'll have its own URL.
Exactly, yeah.
So it'll be impact-images.com.au/.
It'll be an ugly ManyChat link, okay. But I use PrettyLinks to make that a nicer looking
link. All right, so PrettyLink, if you're unaware, so if you use a WordPress website, you can download a plugin called PrettyLink Lite, and you can turn any ugly URL into a PrettyLink. So for me, I'd call it photobizx.com/. For this episode, it'll be, say, I could call it ManyChat after the /, and you'd do the same thing.
Yep.
And I'll send them to the ManyChat, my messenger bot in ManyChat.
Yeah. So an example of that, I was having a play the other day and I made a little... computer game is a big a big word, so if I say that, it's people are going to expect FIFA or something. But a really simple little game on Messenger, which is to guess the number game, and it was a promo for Nice Chat Let's Book, so you can win free access to the course, etc. The way I've set that up is it's a specific link. When you go to that, it just starts the conversation straight away. So, and then I've used PrettyLink to make it, I think it's, I might get this wrong, but nicechatletsbook.com/guess, and it'll just, it redirects to that messenger link and then kicks off, starts from there.
Okay.
That'll work for third-party marketing, I reckon.
Another idea with third-party marketing is coming to me as I'm talking to you, because one of the things I've heard some businesses that are partnering with photographers say is this is too much work to get people to sign up at the register.
Yep.
Let's say, for example, I supplied that shop with an iPad.
Yep.
And could it be logged into their Facebook page, or could they just click on a link to go to my ManyChat account?
That one's a bit tricky, because the device that you're on is logged into a specific account. And so if you have a Facebook page, you're basically asking them to log on to Facebook as themselves on that page, and it's just too much work.
Okay. I think it's better give them a card.
Device in their pocket is the best one to use.
You want to engage with them on their device.
Yep.
Right, and that's the easiest way, to give them a card to go to a URL.
Yeah.
All right, cool.
So I'm building a bot for someone at the moment for an expo, and the idea, so I haven't tried this myself, but it's going to be awesome. The idea is that when you're at an expo and you've got, you know, it's sort of, it's droughts and floods, so you'll have 8 people at the table trying to talk to you at 1 minute, and then an hour later you'll have absolutely no one there. So rather than having a sign-up sheet or an iPad or something like that that's only one person at a time, if you give them a URL to go to, they can sign up on their own device, and there could be 8 people signing up at the same time without having to invest in 8 iPads.
Yes, nice. Because everyone's got their own device.
Exactly. And they could also snooze it. So they could say, not now, I'll do it in 2 hours when I'm not at the expo. So that could be quite cool. And I think the third-party marketing idea would be really similar to the expo approach.
Okay, so if the customer spends over $150 in store, for example, then that shop assistant will just give them one of your cards with your link on it.
Yeah.
You guys have been entitled to this. It could even just be the voucher.
Yep.
Yeah, right.
So you can do a link that's specific to that person. So it could be, I don't know, so the URL, and then it could have Helmich at the end. And when that gets clicked on, it opens up in ManyChat knowing, you know, putting Helmich into a field so that it can be sort of personalised to you.
So you
can
I've lost you. So if I'm the customer or I'm the shop?
So the shop could give out a URL that's got their order number or something like that on the end if they want to tie it back to their orders. So all of that's possible as well.
Okay. And you mentioned there, you quickly breeze past the fact that you're building someone else a bot. So can we hire you to do the work for us?
So I had a big spiel before about how I'm not building bots for anyone, and I just mentioned that. So I've been doing a little bit of coaching for people. It started off as just for course members. It's definitely better to be a course member because we're giving better prices for them. So if you do a lot of coaching before becoming a course member, you're kind of wasting your money. But I think I'm doing free consultations with people. It's just a half-hour chat. If you're unsure whether this is, if you think this is probably for you but can't quite work out how it will fit with your studio, or if you've got some kind of weird scenario, like I spoke to someone the other day who has already got a bot that's been built by somebody else, it's been built in ManyChat, they just can't quite work out whether my course is going to teach them to do things that will break the one that's already there. So that's a good example. To the easiest thing to do is just jump on Skype together and have a quick look at it. So I've been doing that. I've also been doing a little bit of one-on-one coaching over Skype, and then every now and then we find something in one of those chats that I could on Skype build it with you, or I could just, what I've been doing is booking a Skype chat and the other person doesn't show up, and we plan for that to happen, and I just spend that time developing something for them.
Okay, got it.
So nice
really,
and simple.
Really, it's easier for us to learn from the course and do it ourselves.
I think that's a better way to go. But there's always going to be some situations where, you know, I've tried to keep the course general but specifically for photographers. So it should work for most studios in most places. There's always going to be a couple of little quirky differences. So the coaching's there to help with that.
You know, you mentioned that I can go in and download a set of sequences or a sequence for, say, my engagement promo. Can I do the same thing for a family promo? Or is there other examples?
At the moment, the family one is built and in there. The engagement session version is still coming, but it's really similar. So you could go through the family one and just change the questions to be the sort of things that you would ask to an engaged couple rather than a family. But we'll have an engagement version of it up there soon.
Got it. Is there anything else that you've seen members building these bots for that I haven't asked you about? You think, that'd be good to use for that?
We've had people, and myself as well, actually texting those links out to people. So I use it for, so this isn't a marketing thing, this is more of a customer service and sales thing. I use it for excitement building before a portrait session. And you could, if I had more time, I would set it up for excitement building before a meeting as well. So 2 days before a portrait session, I send a manual message that says, I'm looking forward to seeing you guys at this time, at this place. Here's a link to the location. The weather looks great. Here's a link to the forecast that we're looking at. And then I kick off an automatic sequence that says, so what else can I help you with? And then guides them through clothing advice, some information about how the shoot works, some pricing for afterwards, just kind of sowing those seeds for later on.
So hang on. So this, the message that you sent originally, that's in Messenger. It's not a text message.
No, that's in Messenger. Although, you're about to ask this, aren't you? So there's some clients that don't come, rarely now, but there's some clients who don't come to us through a Messenger campaign. So we're not linked to them over Messenger, and so I can't send them a message. So I can send them a text message, and it's got a Messenger link at the bottom of it. And it says, to confirm your session time, click here. That opens up and launches that same sequence.
So you don't need to be friends anymore to send a message to someone?
It's kind of a digital handshake that happens. They need to message your business page first, essentially. There'll be a little get started button that will pop up when they first try and interact with you. And when they click on that, you've then got permission to message them with some rules that are probably too complicated to go into here, and I'll end up describing them badly. That's all in the course. And in ManyChat, it describes the rules as well.
Right, okay.
So it's just things to stop spam.
Okay.
Yeah.
Mate, it sounds unreal. It really does. And I know how much success you're having with it. Oh, yeah, one thing I was going to ask you about, and again, I don't know the answer to this. But I know that we were talking last time, and I was really excited about interviewing you about a holiday that you had planned to Noosa. And your plan was to run a Facebook ad to Noosa residents, or people who are holidaying in Noosa, I guess mainly residents, so you could get a couple of shoots, or maybe even one shoot while you're there on holidays. And I think you were going to use the Messenger bot sequence at the same time.
Yeah.
Did you end up doing that?
So I did. It's still a work in progress. I've tried this a couple of times.
Hang on. Is this an excuse to go repeatedly back to Noosa?
Yeah, absolutely. Absolutely. I've tried this a couple of times over the last 4 years. I'm searching for a way that I can fund holidays with photography. And every time I go on a holiday, I've got to try this out. I think if I had tried that with engagement sessions, we would have smashed it. I think we did it with families and we just misread the local market. I had only a couple of days gap to book them in. So I booked, I think, 5 sessions, and that all worked pretty well. We did the qualification calls as well, and that all seemed good. We seemed like we had 5 good families. It was crazy storms for one of those days, and so we ended up with 2. We had actually 3. We had one person actually, so I cancelled on 3 of them. We must have had six originally. I cancelled on 3 of them because of weather. One of them cancelled because she couldn't make it, and then the other 2 weren't great sales. So bit of a flop.
I love your honesty.
It was also the first time I'd tried online sales, and I was really new to it and probably not doing it as effectively as I should have. So next time I'll do it with engagement sessions, or I'll just do it as IPS but over Skype.
Right.
That's not to say anything against online sales, by the way. I just, it doesn't fit with me as well. Yeah.
Sure. So you'll keep doing this and keep trying.
I'm going to keep trying, yeah.
It's an excuse to have a holiday every time you try it.
Yeah, and I can justify the holiday. Don't listen to this bit, Jay. I can justify the holiday by saying we're going to do some work, and then even if it falls apart, we still get the holiday. It's good.
I love it. Mate, I've just seen Linda over your shoulder giving us the wind-up. We've got to go and meet the other photographers in Melbourne. So this has been, mate, again, a real pleasure. It's always a pleasure chatting to you, mate. And
likewise.
I love hearing about ManyChat and what you've been doing with it and the success you're having with Facebook ads and everything else. I'll add links to anything and everything we've mentioned in the show notes. So we'll leave this here. And if listeners got follow-up questions, you're obviously inside the members' Facebook group.
Absolutely.
They can jump onto nicechatletsbook.com. Yep. And if you listen to the free podcast version, they can send you comments or get to you through your website as well.
Yeah, absolutely. And I mean, I think the best way to contact me about this stuff is over Messenger through the Nice Chat Let's Book page. It means that I can then, if you've got a question about the way a particular promo would work, I can subscribe you to a sequence that shows you that. So rather than let's not do email, let's chat over Messenger.
Nice. Yeah. Unreal. Thanks, Sam.
No worries.
I hope you enjoyed that interview with Ian Sim. Ian, if you're listening, again, mate, thank you so much for agreeing to do that interview, for sharing so much about what you do in your business with the bot sequences, with your Messenger marketing, the whole lot, mate. I'm looking forward to following along, and I really want you to be super successful with the whole holiday booking Messenger automation marketing. Once you tie all that together and crack that code, mate, that would be absolutely amazing for me and the listener. Like, who doesn't want to travel the world or the country, being able to book shoots along the way and make sales to help fund that experience? That's, even if you're not interested in that side of things, just using Messenger automation the way you are, mate, is just, it's fantastic. So again, thank you so much for coming on and sharing what you have. For you, the listener, I've got links to anything and everything that Ian mentioned in the show notes for today's episode, and you can find them at photobizx.com/286. That includes links to his course, to his websites, so you can see a little bit more about what Ian's doing in his business. But yeah, the best thing, if you are interested in the Messenger marketing, is to go to the Nice Chat Let's Book website and actually trial the bot automation yourself. It really is very, very cool. Now, if you have a follow-up question for Ian, you'll find a comments area at the bottom of the show notes. If you are a premium member, you'll know that Ian is a member of our Facebook group, so you'll have access to him there as well. And if you subscribe to his Messenger automation sequence, the trial thing, the test, you'll be able to contact and talk to Ian there as well. Lots of ways to get in touch with Ian. Just before we get into this second shorter interview with Melanie Murphy, you may have read in a couple of previous emails from me that I'm now offering mentoring or coaching And I also talked about a paid mastermind group for PhotoBizX listeners. The paid mastermind group is totally full, and there's also another photographer on the waiting list there. We're going great guns. We're a couple of meetings in, and I can see a really bright future for the photographers involved in that group. The coaching / mentoring is still available, although I've only got a limited amount of time left for those. So if you are interested in some one-on-one coaching, some help with anything in particular you're looking to improve inside your photography business, whether that's Facebook ads, branding, your web copy, email marketing, autoresponders, whatever it is, what you can do is book a free chat with me, a 30-minute call. We can both see if I'm a good fit for you and your business and if I really can help you to get where you want to go with whatever it is that you're working on. And if it all goes well in that free call, then we can take it a step further. And you can book a single one-on-one session. You can book a series of 3 sessions or 6 sessions, depending on what is the best fit for you and your business. So if you want to know more about that, head over to photobizx.com/mentoring. You can book your 30-minute free call there and find all the information that you'll need, including pricing, what's involved, and what you can take from me in regards to my 20 years of shooting as a professional photographer and almost 300 interviews on PhotoBizX. That number still blows me away. I'm looking forward to chatting to you then if this is something you think could be a big help to you and your business.
PhotoBizX.com. Real advice, real strategies, and real ideas to build your photography business.
Alrighty, we're going to jump into this interview with Melanie Murphy. Like I said in the intro, she and her photographer friend Astrid Simone are kicking off the Luminary Retreat. It's in Tasmania. It's for women only, and it's for female photographers looking to go pro or that are already professional but early on in their careers. I love the idea of it. I love the sound of it, and I was keen to hear a little bit more from Melanie. So here she is now. I've got Melanie Murphy from Murphy Photography with me at the moment. She is a PhotoBizX premium member with her workshop partner, Astrid Simone. And these ladies emailed me, well, Melanie emailed me to tell me about a retreat that she and Astrid are setting up in Tasmania. It's for women looking to, I guess, improve their photography and their business. And I was intrigued by the whole idea, and I thought it's probably better to hear about this from Melanie rather than me get the lowdown and share it with you. So Melanie, welcome to the podcast.
Thank you very much, Andrew.
So what's the go? What's the story behind? Are you calling it a workshop or a retreat?
It's more of a retreat. It is a workshop, but it's also got that, I guess, that relaxation feel and the developing friendships as well as skills and business building. So we wanted a word that encompassed all of that.
So that's how you came up with the Luminary Retreat.
Indeed.
So where is it going to happen and when?
It's being held at the beautiful Bay of Fires on Tasmania's east coast, the 14th to the 15th of January next year. Absolutely stunning location. Those of you who have not been to Tasmania full stop or the Bay of Fires are missing out. Indeed.
It's pretty short, isn't it? Like, it's not a week-long thing. It's 2 days.
Yeah, it's absolutely jam-packed, the agenda we've got for the 2 days. So it's business building, skill building, building community as well. And, yeah, so the 2 days are jam-packed with different sessions as well as some live shoots.
Awesome, awesome. All right, let's get into that in just a sec. But who do you think or who is the retreat targeted at?
So it's more for photographer newbies, I guess, those who are inexperienced or looking to jumpstart their business. So whether they haven't actually started a business and are just thinking of starting a business, or those who have been in business for a short time, so maybe 1 to 5 years, and just looking to accelerate their business and skills and create some new clientele along the way. So that's who we've aimed it at. And we did notice that there was a gap, I guess, in the market, well, Tasmania for starters, in terms of training for photographers. Some people have come to Tassie, but, yeah, just getting people here to, yeah, enhance skills, etc. Mainly we have to travel to the mainland and, you know, it's not that far. It's only an hour from where I am. So that's what we usually do. But we thought, why not try and host for in Tasmania and get some people along. And I guess most workshops that I've been to are really for the very, very new people who haven't even got into manual mode, or are for people who have got really well-developed skills in a business that's established. And so we're kind of that middle market, just those that are, yeah, looking to accelerate their business and skills.
Nice. And why women only?
I guess it's for that building of community and not to feel intimidated. And because we are glamping and there's wine involved and campfires and marshmallows and learning, of course. So, yeah, just that setting, that building community with females. I just thought it was a beautiful idea. And we're obviously female ourselves. And, yeah, we just thought, why not?
So, okay, look, this is totally your prerogative, but did it, the topic ever come up of inviting men as well, or right from the start was it you and Astrid saying, no, this is women only?
Yeah, we just thought we wanted females only, build their skills, build that community as well, the relationships, the friendships. I mean, not that you can't have that with men as well, but it's, I just thought it was something nice and a bit unique as well.
Yeah, it sounds lovely. The background for you and Melanie, you guys both have photography businesses?
Yes. So I'm based in on the northwest coast of Tasmania in Burnie, and Astrid is based at Sheffield, which is about 30 minutes from where I am.
Okay. And then do you specialise in weddings or portraits, or do you have complementary businesses?
So I do weddings and family sessions as well, a lot of engagements. And Astrid, she does weddings and families, and she does newborns as well, which is something that I don't specialise in. So I guess we've got some complementary skill sets that we can use to help other people who are looking to get into business or build their business further.
Nice. And have you girls both been in business for a while?
Yeah, so Astrid's been in business for 12 years, and I've been in business for 10 years.
Oh, nice.
So, yeah. I think it's really nice to have that experience, and, you know, we're willing to share our knowledge and mistakes we've made along the way and things that we wish we'd done differently or things that are working for us and our businesses. And it's open-ended in terms of questions. People can bring along questions that they've always wanted to ask, find out anything from how to get clients through to the processing part as well. So it's really all encompassing, and yeah, we're just going to be open books for anyone that wants to ask any questions. It'll be great.
Unreal. I mean, I know you said that you normally have to travel to the mainland. Is that what you call it, the mainland, or to Melbourne?
Yes, we do.
The mainland?
Yes.
So for the overseas listener, if you're unfamiliar, Tasmania is the little island at the bottom of Australia, the bottom right-hand side off the eastern, southeastern, I guess, coast you'd call it. Down below Melbourne. So when you say an hour, it's an hour flight, isn't it?
It is indeed, yeah. Well, there's the Spirit of Tasmania you could catch as well. But no, usually we're flying.
Okay, and are you expecting like women to come from the mainland, or are you trying to attract Tasmanian photographers?
Well, people can come from wherever they like. We're quite happy to host people from Tasmania or interstate, even international if you're that keen. Yeah, so looked at some flights from into Launceston from the mainland, well, Melbourne as you guys call it. And so on sale it's about $60 and up to about $160.
Oh, so pretty cheap.
Really, it's yeah. Not that expensive. And we're always flying interstate for different conferences or workshops. I know Astrid's just been to one in Brisbane. And so we're willing to, I guess, invest in ourselves and our skills and our businesses. We just thought there might be other people out there that would like to do that for themselves as well.
Nice. I think it's a lovely idea. How much is the actual retreat?
So the retreat itself is $1,299 per person, and that includes the accommodation, which is actually glamping, which we think is fabulous. And we've got our own in-house chef for dinners and breakfasts. So everything's catered for in terms of food. And yeah, it's just a full-on schedule for the 2 days.
And it's bring your own wine, I believe.
Yes, that's on the list.
I love that.
Bring my own wine. And of course, your camera.
Yeah.
But yeah, no, it'll be fun.
Oh, that sounds so good. You said earlier there's some live shooting. So you've got models or previous clients. Who's coming to model?
Yeah, so just some families and a couple from the East Coast. So I've got those set up to come along for the evening when the light is at its prettiest, of course, and doing some live shoots. Then once we've sort of done, I guess, the theory side of things during the day, then we're going to be doing the live shoots in the or close to twilight.
Okay. And are you and Astrid shooting or are the participants shooting or is everyone having a turn?
Everyone is having a go.
Nice.
Yes.
And I saw something too in your blurb that you got. I love what you're doing at the end of the second day. Can you tell me about that?
Yeah. So we thought it would be a fun opportunity to photograph each other. Not only will we be able to put our skills into practice and the theory that has been learnt along the 2 days, but people get to have a profile picture, I guess, of themselves for their website or social media, get to dress up in a fabulous dress or whatever you want to wear, and, yeah, photograph each other, and those photos will be shared so that they can be used in whatever means the participants would like. So I thought that was a bit unique.
So if I turn up, not me, but if I was a woman and I turned up, so someone else would photograph me and I'd be able to use those photos on my website or for my marketing. That's the idea.
Yeah, definitely, because, you know, photographers, we're always behind the camera and never in front of the camera. So we thought, yeah, this will be great, especially at the end of the retreat when people have got to know each other a bit better and a bit more relaxed. So, yeah, it'll be great.
Awesome. For someone that's listening that could be based overseas and, you know, they've been in business for 10 years or 15 years and they're thinking about setting up a retreat like yours, how's it been so far? Have you learnt much? Would you do anything different already? I know you haven't had the retreat, but in the actual lead up?
It's been really fun to work on it with Astrid because I guess we're at that stage in our business where we're ready to invest in others, and I don't know why we haven't done this sooner.
Yeah, what have you learnt by putting this together? And I know you haven't had the retreat yet, but would you do it again, knowing what already you know so far?
Yeah, definitely would do it again. So we've set up a landing page, a payment system, an email address, all of that thing with all the resources that we actually already had or were using in our businesses. So it hasn't really cost us anything to set up per se, other than obviously booking the accommodation, etc. So we've just used our skills that we already have existing, used some Facebook boosting posts, which I've learnt about via the podcast. So yeah, it's been quite easy, and it's been fun to think of what would we want if we were at that point of our careers. So, you know, we're either looking to start a business or we've just been in business for a short time. What would we want? And so we've kind of spoken about that and our aims for the session as well, and what we're skilled in or what we enjoy, what we think we might like to teach as well, so that people can get the most out of it.
Nice. Well, we should touch base once the retreat's been on and find out how it went and the lessons that you learned and going in to set up your next one, which I'm imagining you're probably going to do, and hear more about that then if you're happy to.
Definitely. Yeah.
Awesome.
Thanks, Andrew.
Cool. In regards to your business, and I'm putting you on the spot here, I didn't prepare you for this question, but if you had to start over again, let's say you had to move to Sydney, you know, your husband got transferred or, you know, you decided as a family to move to Sydney, what would you do differently if you were starting your business again?
Well, a lot of my business at this stage is built on word of mouth. So I guess making those connections in the community in different ways, whether it's, you know, I do boxing and gym and photograph some of those people and their families as well, getting involved in different running groups, that's where I would be at. Or, you know, if you do have a family, the mothers groups and that. So face-to-face contact, you know, this is what I can do. Here's some samples of what I've done. I think that's where I would start. And then you're starting to build that trust and you can go from there.
Okay. So you'd be totally fine to get in face-to-face, immerse yourself in the community, doing what the things you like to do and try and meet like-minded people and try and sell your work that way.
Yeah, definitely. And that's what I like to do here now with my business, meet people, whether it's through others or, you know, we had a wedding fair recently and that was a great success for me as well. I love to chat. And so I guess people find me friendly and approachable. And they think, oh, yeah, I wonder what she's about. I wonder what her business is about. Let's have a look. So I guess your personality as well putting yourself out there, being vulnerable in some ways is, how I would do it, definitely.
And just touching on your recent bridal expo, what made that a success?
Oh, gosh, that's probably a whole other podcast, Andrew.
I'm curious. So did you get bookings?
I got about 6 bookings, yes.
Oh, really?
So it was fabulous, and I got so many inquiries. I trialled something a little bit different. So I had 25 of these gift bags to give away, only 25. I advertised them on my Facebook page and Instagram, and they were called my secret squirrel bags, which is a bit random, but it actually worked. So one of them had a gift voucher for a mini engagement session. You could also win that, just the general public who weren't on my Facebook page, by putting email details down. But I actually, when the doors opened at 10 a.m. for the wedding fair, I had girls actually running to my stall. It was incredible.
That's so good.
Thinking, oh, I wonder if anyone's going to actually turn up and ask. So what they had to do is they had to show me their wedding ring in order to receive one of the bags.
Hey, their wedding ring or their engagement ring?
Oh, sorry, their engagement ring.
Okay. So hang on. So you had 25 of these gift bags, these, what did you call them, secret squirrel?
Yes.
And so you advertised the fact you had these bags on Facebook, your Facebook page or the person who was running the expo?
I think I did share it on there as well. But, yeah, it was mainly through my Facebook page. So those people, or fans, followers, whatever you like to call them, that were associated with my business in some way or that had been tagged, that worked as well. Yeah, there were a lot of tags. So people came in going, here's my engagement ring. So I took a photo of it and gave them their bag, and off they went. So there was a range of goodies in there for them, and there was one winner with the mini engagement session. And, yeah, I gave away all 25 bags, and I could have given away more as well. But I think the number was perfect in terms of generating interest and getting people to come and talk to me as well. And they love talking about their engagement ring, of course.
That's such a cool idea. I love how you did this, but I still don't understand how you converted those 25 girls into 6 bookings.
Yeah, well, I've been to other wedding expos as well where I haven't actually got any bookings or any inquiries. Like, what am I doing wrong? So I just thought, well, I'll just try something completely left of field, completely out there. And, yeah, it worked. So I don't know whether it was that.
But how did it work? Like, how did you get the bookings? Yeah, how did you do it?
Well, I did have that opportunity to have the conversation, I guess, with 25 individual people that were looking at getting married. So maybe that was part of it as well. So, yeah, no, it was really interesting.
Okay, so it was more so the conversations that you had with the girls, more so than what you were giving away inside the secret squirrel bag.
Yeah, and I guess they felt they knew me as well because they were following me on Facebook and keeping updated with all the posts, and they were really excited to come and get one of these bags. And then that night I posted the photos of all of the engagement rings, and people were tagging away and commenting on those as well. So it just generated a lot of interest and conversation as well.
I love that. Inside the bags was there, you weren't giving away a wedding or, so the biggest giveaway was the mini engagement shoot.
Yeah, that's it. So some of them also had like a discount voucher for an engagement session, but of course there was chocolate in there, which is my favourite. Some little photo stands. What else did I have in there? Vouchers to other, I think it was for photo printing, because Astrid owns the ProPrint Lab. So that's a photo printing shop at La Trobe. So she gave me some vouchers to pop in there. Yeah, so it's wonderful having friends in the industry.
Well, I love it. And then when you did the photos of the engagement rings, was that just the engagement ring on the hand or was it the whole girl?
No, it was just the engagement ring.
Oh, really?
And people were like, is this your hand, such and such? Like on the Facebook post.
I love that. So it's a bit of mystery.
Yeah.
Yes. That's so good. Well, look, the one thing I haven't asked you, Melanie, is the Luminary Retreat. Are these the things you're going to be sharing, at the retreat?
Yeah, well, it'll be absolutely everything from, as I said, how to get bookings. So that's one way. How to connect with your client, either, before the shoot, during the shoot, and the care of the client in the follow-up as well. That's really important. Just different secrets that we've learned along the way, or things that have made our business and ourselves and our skills better. Yeah, so like I know that it's just such a valuable experience and how much we've put into it, and whoever comes along is just going to be blown away by the amount of information that they can soak up from both of us and our experience.
That sounds unreal and that sounds so good. Where's the best place to learn more if someone can get to Tasmania?
Definitely. So both Astrid Simone and Murphy Photography Facebook pages have got a link to a Sticky Folios page, and it's like a landing page that I've created through Sticky Folios. And also, I think you're putting up a link on the Premium Members Facebook page.
I will do. So I'll do that, and also in the show notes for this episode as well, so everyone can hear about it. Look, I'm wishing you every success, you and Astrid, with the retreat. It sounds fantastic. You had me wishing that I wore a dress so I can come along. Because the location, the glamping, the wine, it all sounds fantastic, as well as the business knowledge as well. It sounds like a great weekend coming up, or great couple of days. So I'm looking forward to hearing more about it after it. Have a great time. Sounds awesome. And I will chat to you soon, Melanie.
Thank you kindly.
Alrighty, that is it for this episode of the show. It feels like it's been an absolute monster of a show. Don't forget, in the show notes, you'll find links to anything and everything that was mentioned. They are at photobizx.com/286. I'll be back next week with another episode. I hope you have an amazing week yourself, and I will chat to you soon. Bye for now.
If you have enjoyed this episode, head to photobizx.com. Join the conversation, leave a comment, and share your thoughts on the interview with Andrew and today's special guest.